we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Get those lights up. How's everybody doing? You know, I'm the kind of pastor that's always nervous about a quiet room. Everybody okay today? Everybody all right, cool. Samantha, are you all right today? Samantha, are you doing okay today? All right, cool. Mike and Maddie, you doing all right today? We'll just take roll call, everybody. That takes too long. How about everybody just says yeah when I ask the question? Everybody doing all right today?
Yeah.
All right, I like to hear that. All right. You are at Redemption Church. If you've wandered in here, you might just be like really surprised. Like, what? This is Redemption Church? Well, you're here, yeah, at Redemption Church. If you found us somehow online, you're at Redemption Church, all right? My name is Chris Fuller. I'm the lead pastor here. We're a really awesome church in Plano, Texas. We're awesome because our Lord is awesome. That's really what makes us well-to-do and what worth talking about the Lord that has saved us. To you online, I greet you. I want a little shout-out to Cheryl Fain. Cheryl Fain was feeling sick. Everybody knows Scott Fain. His mom is Cheryl. She's not been feeling good, so we're going to be praying for her. And Cheryl, we're praying for you. You've been listening to the podcast, so this is me saying hello to you. You're a sweetheart. All right. And if you've never met Bruce Fain, we ought to get Bruce Fain and Stan in the same room because they tell the best jokes. Just it's amazing. So my name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm blessed. You're looking at one blessed dude, and I'm really excited to preach to you today, although I'm just going to go ahead and give you a warning today. Today is going to be different.
All right.
Today's even going to be a little heavy. Okay, so here's from the very get-go, here's what I need you to do. I just need you to embrace the moment with me, and let's go through this together. Not every sermon is like candy and pizza party and Cokes. Not every sermon can be that. God has something really important for us to hear today, all right? I love celebratory sermons. I love the good news of Jesus Christ, and let's all just get down and party that Jesus conquered the grave. But that is not the word God has for you today. But God has a word for you today. So will you go with me and embrace the moment? We're in the third week of our Help series. Week one, we told you that the God who needs help from no one has created a plan that includes you. And it actually makes you a necessary component to his plan. So the God who needs no help from anyone is actually calling out for your help. Pretty cool stuff. And then last week we told you that asking for help doesn't show weakness. It actually reveals strength. As a church, we openly called for your help. As a pastor, I transparently, openly asked for your help. Before we dive into today's message, let's look at our memory verse for this month. I've almost got this one. Do you almost have this one? Psalm 121, 1 through 4. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. The Lord, the one who watches over you, will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Is that the Lord we serve? Amen. We look to the Lord. Amen. We can clap our hands for that kind of God. He's awesome. I tell you what, there's nothing like being in trouble but calling on the Lord, and you just find out he's all the help you need. He's always been all the help you need, right? That is something everybody's got to learn. If you're going through hell right now, if you're going through the absolute worst thing in your life, I'm really sorry about it, but there's something really good about it. Today you could find out that all the help you ever needed was Jesus Christ. You just turn to him, he'll take care of it, all right? That's awesome. Man, I've been there, I tell you. The first thing we need to understand today is that the world needs our help. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
The world needs our help. And I just have some things to share with you today, if you'll just allow me. You see, 7.6% of Americans suffer from depression. You know, you think about that. It's a little bit under 1 in 10 people. You meet 10 people today? You probably saw someone that was depressed. You probably met somebody that was in need of help. You probably met somebody that's hiding it, masking it. You probably worship beside somebody today that they're putting on a strong face, but, you know, they're depressed. But, you know, I mean, maybe we'll pray about it. In fact, you know, depression counts for $80 billion in health care plus time lost in work in America. 80 billion people miss work because they're absolutely depressed, trying to keep a gun from their head, and the amount that they spend on medication and doctors. But, you know, I mean, what are you talking about? Actually, there's 350 million depressed people on the face of the planet right now. But you know, I digress. You know, 1 billion kids worldwide are living in poverty. That's poverty. Oh, man, too bad for them. Well, let's tell you this stat. 22,000 kids die daily because of their poverty worldwide. 22,000. Good thing that we live in the U.S. of A. 805 million people do not have access to enough food. It's on its way to a billion. 7 point something billion people on the face of the planet. Almost 1/7 of them don't have enough food. Well, 750 million people don't have access to clean water. And that kills 2,300 people every day. They die in the worst way. They die of disease. They die of sickness like diarrhea. And it's filthy and it's inhumane. Let's, you know, we'll pray about that. Oh, 2 million kids die each year due to preventable disease. Preventable disease. That means like it just takes a few bucks. Somebody buys the shot. They buy the medicine and they hand it to that person. And that would have been enough to save them. But due to lack of money, due to lack of health care, 2 million kids every year die. Jesus. But man, what am I telling you all this for? I mean, that's for a government to figure out, right? 795 million people don't have enough food to eat. And that just stinks as a stat, but this next one really stinks also. 30 to 50% of food produced each year rots away and is thrown away and is not used. We ought to get somebody to fix that. Hillary, Donald. There are presently nearly 210 orphans in the world. They don't have a mom. They don't have a dad. 210 million orphans on the planet. Gosh. Man, we're lucky. Glad that's not me. Every day, 5,760 more orphans are added to the system. Every day, 5,760 more orphans added to the system. That equals about 2,102,400 yearly. Yet, only 250,000 kids are adopted each year. 250,000 kids are adopted, but 2.1 million are added. Let's just put this little stat away, because, I mean, I can't take care of a million kids. How about this one? Each year, 14.5 million orphans turn 16, and they age out of the system and they enter society with no support, never knowing maybe a mother or a father. Each year, 14 million age out of the system. 10 to 15% of the kids commit suicide by the age of 18. Those that don't commit suicide, 60% of those girls become prostitutes. 70% of the boys become hardened criminals. I mean, what do you say about that? Just put that in an envelope and not look at that stat. 20.9 million adults and children are bought and sold into commercial sexual servitude, forced labor, and bonded labor. 20.9 million adults and children. Father, it was the year 2016. How could that possibly? I mean, I don't see any of that, so, I mean, that doesn't affect me. Right, so let's maybe move on here. 12.3 million sex slaves worldwide. 12.3 million sex slaves worldwide. And women and girls make up 98% of these victims. Gosh. Isn't somebody stopping this already? You'd think the UN would do something. What are they doing? There are 300,000 child soldiers worldwide today. 6, 7, 8 holding automatic rifles. There's 300,000 of that today. Someone's not raising those kids right. You know, that's... What are you bringing this here at Redemption Church right now? We're working hard. We're working hard to reach young people. Are you trying to make us feel bad? Or so far this year, there have been 29.9 million abortions worldwide. Leading cause of death is abortion. $29.9 million. That's heavy. Uh, 53,000 children are murdered every year. Unbelievable amounts of child abuse happen all over the world. They happen on your city block. To the extremes, kids are actually murdered. 150 million girls under 18 experience sexual abuse. 73 million boys under 18 experience sexual abuse. Say those numbers out loud. 150 million girls. 73 million boys. Abused sexually. $4.4 billion people worldwide do not know the saving grace of Jesus. 4.4 billion people worldwide. There's like 7.4 billion people worldwide. 4.4 have never even heard the gospel, or they've not received it. There's an amazing breakdown, like, of the people groups. There's so many people groups that have never even heard the gospel of Jesus. Gosh. But that's probably a pastor's job, right? It's probably, yeah, probably. Christian persecution. Could talk about that. Iraq has seen an unbelievable decrease in its amount of Christians. Make sure I get this number right here. They have been massacred from 1.5 million to 300,000. Iraq used to have 1.5 million Christians. They have been massacred to 300,000. That's 1.2 million Christians massacred. Syria. We hear a lot about Syria in the news, right? Two-thirds of the Christians in Syria have been killed. I was reading most Syrian Christians are doing without food. They are too afraid to go to their work. They're too afraid to leave their home. Iraq, Syria, Iran. People are being imprisoned all over Iran. Pastor Saeed Al-Badini is one such person. He's serving 8 years in prison as we speak. Regardless, Christianity is actually growing in Iran. Good for them. Let's see, I've got a few more here. Oh, some unreached world stats here. There are 6,550 unreached people groups. Those are groups of people that it's less than 2% of that group is Christian. 6,550 different people groups. Some of the biggest people groups are Bangladesh. There's 137 million unreached in Bangladesh. Japan, 120 million. India, 900 million. People in one country. Unbelievable persecution in India. This one really... Morocco, it's in the northern part of Africa. Rifi Berber of Morocco, that area. In this one area, there are 1.5 million people. And out of 1.5 million people, there are maybe 30 believers. This area has maybe 30 believers. Laos, 6.7 million people, 3% are Christian. That's 200,000 out of 6.7. It's estimated that 1 million of those people have never even heard the gospel. Not once. Not once. 1 million. Bosnia. 2 million people. 0.03% are Christian. Unbelievable genocide against Christians in Bosnia. India. Pakistan. Sudan. On and on. places. China, North Korea, Nigeria. And you know, guys, we really don't even have time to break down all the problems that we're having in our own country with racism, social injustice, hatred, greed. Terrorism. How about this one? Your friends and your family don't know Jesus. Your friends and your family don't know Jesus. You've never shared your faith with them. Maybe you came close a few times, but you know, you just don't think they're ready yet. You've not prayed about it even. Like, I mean, some of these things, I mean, they ought to make us pray, right? Some of the things we just heard might make us all to want to pray, but we've not prayed about any of this stuff. It's not that it's not been on the news coverage, but we've been busy. I get it, we're busy. And we've not really given our help. I mean, sure, we can pat ourselves on the back because, I mean, given a church our size and given our budget and our financial restrictions, I mean, we've done quite a bit for missions and stuff. We could really pat ourselves on the back, but have we really? When we look at this, I don't feel like patting myself on the back to say I've done a thing. We live in a world that needs our help. We live in a world that needs a church of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that needs people to be the church of Jesus Christ. I am going to be very quick. I have got 3 points for you. Everyone said three. Here's the first one. Go. What did Jesus? He looked at his disciples in the eye and he said this word first. He says, say it with me. Go. This command is from Jesus to his church and it is to go. Now Jesus did not say go to church. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop hanging out and doing life with us. But his point was to go where? Into the world, into all the world, and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his command. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world. Can you say those words with me? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Are we going into our world? Redemption Church. Are we even going into our world? Forget Bangladesh. How about your job? How about your school? How about while you're driving down the street, living your life? Are you going into the world that you're living into? We're not talking about you taking a trip to Nigeria. We're talking about you're going to Starbucks later. Are you going with the command of Jesus? All right. It's great that you came together as a church today. It's great that you worship together. It is really good that you put up with this could be perceived sarcastic sermon. But Jesus has asked us to do so much more than this. Jesus has asked us to go into the world. Everyone said, go into the world.
Go into the world.
And here's the second point. Go into the world and be present. Are we present? The power of going into the world is that there is an emissary, there is an ambassador of Jesus, there is an apostle, there is somebody with the Holy Spirit in them, the good news in them, and they go there and they are present right there. And when they're present right there, guess what? It means Jesus is present right there. I tell you what, Morocco, Jesus is present there in those 30 believers. My goodness, I wish that Jesus was as present there as he is in some of our churches. Are we present? Today you heard the needs of people and situations in the world, but hearing and having knowledge maybe isn't the same as being present. Raise your hand real quick. Did I share some knowledge with you today that you kind of knew about? I knew a little bit. Maybe I didn't know it was that bad. Maybe I didn't know those exact things. But yeah, I knew sex trafficking was that bad. I knew child abuse was that bad. I knew that some of these areas of like Syria and Iraq and Bosnia, I knew some of those. Let me tell you, knowing and hearing is not the same as being present. That's why he said, go into all the world. He didn't say, go write a book and have it published. He says, go in the middle of it. Nothing against writers. I love you guys. He didn't say, start a podcast and that'll be good enough. No, if they want it, they'll just download it off of iTunes. No, he said, go and be present. You got to be present. You got to be present. The church is crying out for help. The world's crying out for help, but where is his church? Where are they? Oh, they're in their buildings. They're in their buildings with their hands cupped, listening to a homily, listening to a sermon. And they're going to feel so much better afterwards, and they're going to leave. They're going to go back to their homes. Oh man, Jesus has asked so much more from us than this. We are underperforming. Today, you might have had feelings in your heart. You might have had some goosebumps. You might have had a near tear. You might have been raging, kind of mad at this sermon or my approach to it or any of that. But let me tell you, your emotional response is not a helpful response. Churches are so good about seeing pictures from a missionary and crying their eyes out, but it's not a helpful response, and it is a short-lived response. The next week, everything is back to normal. Your emotional response is not a helpful response. Being present is the response that is called for by Jesus Christ. Praying in this altar today. Oh man, that is a great start. You sure better believe it. I'm going to open this altar before you know, and you ought to pray in this altar because it's a great start. But if you are only present for a moment in this altar and walk away unchanged, let me tell you, were you really present? If you just pray long enough to feel better about yourself and walk out and just go back to your normal life, is that really being present? Is that Great Commission presence? Is that the call of Jesus presence? Jesus calls us to be present. Redemption Church, Jesus has called us to be present in a hurting world. Do you have this feeling in you? We have to do something. We either ignore it or we do something. Go, be present. Here's the question. Third point. Are we a help? Think about that. This is convicting. Are we a help? Are we really helping? Really? I mean, let's get real. Are we really helping? Are you really helping? Is the Fluitt family really helping? Insert your family's name there. Is my family really helping? I tell you what, as a church, you ought to come in here every Sunday. And you ought to be hitting those doors ready to change the world. I believe that's how the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be. We ought to be sending you out to help hurting people. We ought to be sending you out with a vision on how to change things. We ought to be sending you out with more than just, man, that was a good sermon today. No, we ought to be sending you out saying, God spoke to me to do something in the world. I know somebody, while we were worshiping, it hit my heart that they aren't here with me. We ought to be doing that. We ought to be sending you out. Instead, church is about how many people can we get in the room. If your Christianity only goes as far as gathering, then we really aren't helping anyone. Man, that stinks. That's lousy. I said it and I believe it. If our Christianity, if Redemption Church only goes as far as like mega church success of packing in a 1,000 people and then doing it again next week, and that's like the end of our reach, we are not helping anybody. I'm going to tell you, $1 million sanctuaries, not helping anyone. Only Jesus is the help, right? If we only hoard God's blessings and resources, oh man, I got the word of God, and by faith I know a blessing is coming to me. Praise God. I heard a man, the enemy's come to kill, steal, and destroy, but the Lord has come to give me life and more abundantly. Man, I just feel my wallet filling up. I got faith to move mountains and to get a pay raise. Let me tell you, if we make Christianity about this world being better for us, we're not helping anybody. If we are making Christianity about, I'll do this and then God will do this and I'll benefit and I'll profit from it, that's not a help to anybody. Do you see that? If we are hoarding God's blessings, if we are like, man, let's take up an offering so we can, you know, we can do more things with our, build a bigger sanctuary, do more things with our kids, hire more. I mean, that's awesome. That's well and good. It has its place. But if that's the end game, we are not helping. We're not helping. As we heard stat after stat, situation after situation, we surely felt in our hearts a call to action. Because the truth is, we're called to help. And we're called to be present. And we're called to go. Every one of us. Every one of us. I'm not talking to pastors. I'm not talking to people that have been in church for 10 years, people that are attending a seminary. I'm talking to every believer in Jesus Christ. You're called to go. You're called to be present. You're called to help. We need to go into the world. We need to be present. We need to help. Those are my 3 points. Today, I invite you to come to this altar and answer the world's cry for help. I really want you to just come and just like be present in all of this stuff here. All these letters filled with awful news, awful realities. Could you come to this altar today? Every one of you. Every one of you, could you come to this altar and be present here? Maybe you get one of these cards and you just take it and you go find a place to pray about it. And you just be present. We were reading about some of those places with unbelievable persecution on this side of the planet. Could you be present with them and cry out that God would reach them, that God would save them, that God would minister to them, that they would be encouraged, that the people of Morocco wouldn't lose faith, that those people in Bosnia, that they'd hold on, that they would not give up, that they'd go further. Could we fall on our face? Could we pray? Could we be present? Could we stop thinking about about the stuff in our own lives? Could we stop thinking about silly things that don't matter? Could we be present in it? Could somebody in this place commit to the Lord? God, I want to be present. I want to go. I want to be a help. God, forgive me for not being a help all over this house. Come on, let's talk to the Lord in this place. We're not going to play any music. We're not going to sing any songs. We're going to talk to the Lord. We're going to minister in prayer. We're going to commit ourselves in prayer in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.